Greetings to each one. Thankful for the service. Thankful for what you all bring to the service. Thankful for the singing. Thankful to be here, feeling worthy. Thank you to you, Brother Matt, for what you shared about walking in love. Pray for me. It is definitely something that I want God to perfect in my life in every area. I know that I desire to have more of that in my life, and I appreciate what you shared about that. Well, this morning we have a subject that I did not choose. It seems like I didn't choose. Maybe as we, towards the end, if God allows, we will share a little of how this subject came to be, that it seemed clear to share on. I do want to share that as this title clearly came to my heart earlier this week, it was a kind of a burdensome week to think of trying to share about the glory of Jesus Christ. I feel like I'm not qualified, and I feel like I'm not able. I feel a lot like Moses did. I'm not of eloquent speech. And so we want to look to God for this. I would like to just share some of the burden to share on this subject, the glory of Jesus Christ. I think the first thing would be to, again, just to stir worship and reverence in our heart for Jesus Christ. We live in a day where his name can be pretty freely used. We can say Jesus. We can say Jesus and not really have the reverence in our heart that we shouldn't have for him. And if we do that long enough, we soon lose a lot. When we say his name and we don't understand in his fullness who he is. I'm not sure if I'm saying that quite right, but the first desire, and I think one of the chief ones that was laid on my heart, is just to lift up his name once more. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that wants to take the glory away from Christ. And maybe we can talk more of that later. So the glory of Jesus Christ, our desire is to stir worship and reverence in your name. And also we as God's creation, somehow God made us to want to attain, to want to accomplish things, even here in this life. And one of the goals of the message is to stir you up to seek God's glory in your life and to have more of his glory in our lives. I think there's many things that we can try to veil, we can try to put in the place of, but God, there's something special when we can take our bodies and we can consecrate them and set them apart and sanctify them to the point that God can in any way use them, and his glory can, in a very, very small way, be part of our life. If that can happen, it does. It's very fulfilling. It fulfills a need that God put in our lives that nothing else can. And my burden is that we don't seek to fill that need with something different than what God designed us to. I'm not sure how much of that will come to my mind at a later time. This is also the glory of Jesus Christ when couple things here. A word is only a means to lead our thoughts to something beyond. So the words that are said here, my hope is that your attention, that your eyes of faith will go beyond, far beyond the words that are said here. And my hope today too is there's so much here that will be insinuated that there are no words for. And my prayer is that you'll allow the Spirit of God to take what is said here and to take it much deeper. If I remember right, some time ago, I read that a lot of the Jews wouldn't repeat God's name. They would talk about Him, but they had enough reverence in their heart that when it comes to His names in Hebrew, like Yahweh, and some of those, many of them wouldn't repeat the name. And I think reverence like that in our heart, I'm not saying it's wrong to repeat God's name, but I think reverence like that in our heart for Him would do us well. Again, to finish my thought, that when we say the word Jesus Christ, there are no words in our English vocabulary. That can tell us who Jesus Christ is. May we all remember, children, that those words are meant to be a vehicle to convey our thoughts and our meditations to one that is all more glorious, to one that is far beyond any words there are. I don't think there's words in any vocabulary that can do what only God can do in our hearts as we meditate with our eyes of faith and as we put together all the little parts and pieces of we know of Christ, and that we know of Him that is true. What the Word of God says to Him, as we put these all together, then we can behold Him in His glory. We trust that this message is also an invitation for us to all live in a deeper, how can I say this, than the temporal here and now. That as we go about our day, that the eyes of our faith can be on the eternal and on the things that are happening in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. As 2 Corinthians 4 says, verse 18, it gives us again these words are just the vehicle that invite us to this spiritual realm that we cannot see with our physical eyes. These words are just the vehicle. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, they're only momentary, they soon will pass away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And those are the things that deep in our heart we want to lift our gaze to today, our meditations, and we want to order our lives by God's grace according to those eternal things. And we want to live in that realm That is really where our life is. This is fleeting here. We're pilgrims and strangers. This soon shall pass. Soon, as we've heard from Brother Matt, soon we will not be here. Our real reality is in the eternal. And I think the more we lift our gaze and our thoughts and our meditations to that, the better off we are in that way. I do want to say that is the only opportunity we do have to see the glory of Jesus Christ as we go beyond this temporal. May God help us to spend much of our meditation and our time and our lives meditating on the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk not by faith." And it says, I was going by memory here and I said it wrong, but it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief. Respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor, thus we walk. Not by sight or appearance, but by faith. And our faith goes beyond the temporal into the eternal. That is where our hope is. I may have taken that scripture from the Amplified there the way it looks as I read it. So I apologize for not saying that earlier. So may this bring an awareness of God's glory, of the glory of Jesus Christ. There's a glory with Christ. And we have an enemy. Unless I forget later we're not here to denounce and whatnot, but when Christ is in a manger, and when there's sheep, and there's oxen, and there's camels, and there's all of these things around the manger, it seems like it can be easy for us. That can easily diminish Christ's glory. And I want us to think of that. I believe that Christ becoming man may have been one of the greatest things, one of the greatest miracles. And maybe eternity will reveal this, but as I've thought about this, I wonder if this isn't one of the greatest miracles that ever was. When we get a glimpse of God and His glory, and we realize that He became man. My heart is that this glory of Christ doing this is lifted up in our hearts and lives today. As 2 Timothy, there's quite a bit of scripture today. And maybe just allow the scripture to feed our soul. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there's different scripture that tell us that glory can transverse to us, would maybe be the right verbiage to say. And so what's exciting about this glory is Jesus Christ has it, but it's also something that in a small way we can seek and have part of it in our lives. And that's something I need in my life. Very much. The glory of God seen in heaven. You know, I had to think of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 55. It says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God." What do you think he saw? He looked up into heaven and he saw the glory of God. You have to wonder, what did Stephen see? And it says, "And Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Heaven open And Stephen got a clear look into heaven. And how does he describe the glory? We want to try to again put what glory is into words, but I don't think there are words again to describe what glory is. But he got a clear look into heaven just before his death, and he saw the glory of God. Stephen saw the greatness of God in heaven from here on earth. And God invites us all to do the same. I think he wants to show us his glory. And I think when we see his glory, it will change our lives yet more and more into his image. What is the glory of God that Stephen saw? The dictionary definition of glory often describes it as great praise, splendor, or honor. As we read some of these different verses, I think we'll continue to get a better picture of what glory is. But it's splendor. It's the holy glow that radiates forth from God's holy being. And it's amazing. It seems like when God's holiness, I had to think of this as I was sitting here this morning. It seems like where God's holiness is, God's splendor and glory become part of that being where there's holiness. And may we desire, I desire that in my life very much. God's glory has ever shone forth and ever will. Think of Jesus' words here. And again, we probably won't spend a lot of time on all of these scriptures. But Jesus in his prayer in John 17 verse 5, he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Think of that in the light of Jesus Christ leaving the glory that Stephen saw. He left that glory. That would be hard to do, wouldn't it? To come to earth where there's sin and death and destruction and hate and all of these things. Stephen saw that glory that Jesus left. Also in John 17, verse 24, Jesus says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So those are the words of Jesus Christ. And in his own words, he's saying that he wants his disciples to see the glory that God has given him. And he's admitting that he does have glory. So the title this morning, "The Glory of Jesus Christ," lines up with what Jesus said about himself. The glory of Christ was exhibited in the character and acts of his life in the days of his flesh. We could spend years, and that would be a glorious message. Not that I'm that able, that's not what I'm saying. But the person that would be able could spend years on every deed and every act and every step that Jesus Christ took. And his glory is in all of that. His glory is exhibited in that way. John tells us, "And the Word was made flesh." This speaks of Christ leaving the glories of heaven and becoming like me and you, without the failure and the sin and the things that we've committed. But he was made a man like we are and dwelt among us. And it says, "We beheld his glory." So John's saying that he saw his glory. Isn't that amazing? John saw his glory. The disciples beheld his glory. Oh, Peter, John, and I didn't put this scripture in here, but was it Peter, Andrew, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration? James on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Christ as he really is in this day. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So I take it here that there's no other place that this glory comes from. It comes from God. God is the essence. He is all glory. Comes from God. It's begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. is the final part of that passage. That's an amazing scripture to meditate on. And I would encourage you to do that. John 1:14. We beheld His glory. His glory was seen as He in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. In John 11:4, when Jesus heard that Lazarus had died, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God." This happened so that people would see God's splendor, God's magnificent power. And there's so many aspects of God's glory, I think, that could be expounded on, and I'm not able here today to do that the way I would like. But that the Son of God might be glorified thereby, is the rest of John 11:4. Also in John 11:40, Jesus was talking to either Mary or Martha here, I forget, and He said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" They got to see the glory of God. The Bible says that the glory of God was seen in the resurrection of Christ. In Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father." So Paul tells the Romans here that it was the glory of God that raised up Christ from the dead. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Again, the glory of God is splendor. It's the holy glow that radiates forth from God's holy being. Glory. I think it's far beyond that. And I'm very open to you, brothers, having other thoughts here on what all, how the glory could be, more definitions could be given, and how the glory could be explained better, and what could be said of the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. With the eyes of faith, we have the privilege to behold and to meditate and to experience the glory of God. Do we? We have that opportunity. I don't think we're going to experience the glory of God here on earth the way we will when we're in His presence. But as we quiet our hearts in a closet by ourselves, and we open the Word of God and we meditate on it, and we have faith, and the eyes of our faith take us out of this temporal into the eternal, we can partake in small ways of the glory of God, if I can say it in the right way. That is a privilege we have, and I want to encourage us to that privilege today. It's life-changing. As the first ray of the morning reveals the glorious light which is soon to flood heaven and earth, so the first miracle of Jesus revealed the glory of Him who had left the glories of heaven and yet in His glory is everlasting. And that, I think I have a scripture out of line here, but that was when He turned the water into wine. And maybe we'll just kind of skip over that. I think that it was a bigger deal than we think. When you read through that passage, here was this man, and they were out of wine. And so they took these five clay vessels and filled them with water. And just like that, He made the best wine. And I think that it got more people's attention than we realized. The Bible mentions it there. Let us go on. But think of that. I think that Christ's life here on earth, the glory was always with Him, but it wasn't realized until He did something supernatural. And it's when He did something that was supernatural, it is those times that we can study and learn a lot about the glory of Jesus Christ, is what my heart's trying to communicate here. It's a hidden glory in many times in Christ's life. It's hidden. But when he performs a miracle or something, we can see the glory that was always there. It comes forth. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah, so The glory is used in a variety of ways in Scripture. It can refer to God's greatness, His honor, His beauty, His power, His light. In every case, the glory of God acknowledges the Lord's supreme strength, the Lord's supreme holiness, and the Lord's supreme magnificence, and the Lord's supreme holiness, did I say that? And our deep need to both acknowledge God as such. We should acknowledge God in all these ways. The glow and splendor that radiates forth from the presence of God and from Jesus Christ is glory. Glory. Glory, the glory of God. How can we better understand it? God is loaded with glory. He is full of glory. I had to wonder, it was some years ago, when I'm not sure how, I couldn't remember where the passage was, but it was in the Old Testament. And it gives the thought, and I think I've shared it here, that just God's presence made things smolder and smoke. And I don't know where, I didn't know where to go get the scripture anymore. But I wonder if that wasn't His glory that does that. So just as God moved, like even on Mount Sinai, we have a good example of it, how the mountain quaked. And I think I'm just remembering now, the smoke from that mountain penetrated a quarter inch down into some of the stones and stuff that were there, if I'm remembering right. I think Brother Matt Miller was over there, and they cut into some of that rock, and it went down in. But I had to think, is it God's glory? That there's a scripture that talks about as He moves, just His presence way out ahead, things start smoking and flaming, and I'm not sure how the verse says it anymore. But I picture that as God's glory in that way. God is loaded with glory. He is full of glory. It seems when anyone sees God, His glory is mentioned. I had to think of the Bible. When there's something talked about God, it seems like His glory is mentioned. God has created amazing beauty in His creation, but His excellent glory exceeds everything that He's created. So we think of the many beautiful things, multiply them many times, and think of God's glory, God's splendor, God's beauty. God is beautiful. Do you ever think of that? God is so beautiful. He is just beauty, beautiful, beautiful. Christ was full of glory before. Okay, here I repeated myself. I have this scripture here in John 2 about the miracle of the wine, but I think we'll keep going. Luke chapter 2, verse 32 says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of His people Israel." That was, Christ was given to be the glory, it says here, the glory of Thy people Israel. I think God intended that Christ be a glory to us, and that we, that glory affects our lives. As we study the life of Jesus Christ, He was asked many questions, and we see that He knew how to answer every man. His words always profited the soul, still do, and His answers always come to our heart and conscience. His answers always speak to the very root, the deepest need within. You know, we as men, it's easy for us to just speak to the outward or to the shallow things. But Christ goes right to the heart with what He says, the advice He gives, the direction He gives. It changes the heart and speaks to the conscience of every man. It's amazing. That's His glory. We see His glory in the temple as He interacted with the teachers. I had to think of this. Let me just read a couple of these passages out of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 46 through 49. If you have your Bibles, you know, I was going to start in and have someone pray. Why don't we, maybe we should stand, can we? Those of you that can. And turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 46 and 49. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then we will read this. And then you can be seated. Lord Jesus, we don't need to remind You how weak and frail we are and how incapable we feel and mind and tongue. We do ask, Lord Jesus, that You in Your glory would give understanding to these feeble thoughts, that You would be with us at this service, and that in a small way You can give us all a taste to seek You and to seek Your glory, and that You would convince us that in each one of us, we desire to be, You put a desire in us to attain to things and to be worth something and to be appreciated and to accomplish things. And one of the greatest is when we receive in a small way, in a small, small way, Your glory in our lives, and when we seek Your glory. So we ask that You could accomplish all of the things that You desire to accomplish, even though our frail, weak and feeble vessel, through that You would flow and just meet with all of our hearts and lives today, and that You would change us and that You would give us an appetite to seek Your glory, and that You would open the eyes of our faith and help us to behold Your beauty and Your wonderful, splendid, magnificent glory, and that it would change us more into Your image, Lord. So thank You for everyone here. Thank You for Your word, and thank You for the glory that we can partake of and behold in a small way. In Your worthy name we pray. Amen. So let's read verse 46 to 49, then you can be seated. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. And I had wanted to look up this word doctors. I don't know, is that the same as lawyers? Do you know? Someone? Teachers? Okay, teachers. Both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And He said unto them, How is it that ye wist not? Now how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You can be seated if you want. But verse 47, here we see Jesus in the temple, and I'm not sure if I remember Him being 12 years old here yet, even. Maybe not quite, I'm not sure. But it says, all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And I think in a small way, we see Him filled with wisdom and glory here. Here we have these ancients. He's wiser than ancients and has more understanding than His teachers. And we see this here in verse 47. I have thought of this account as I considered His glory. God's Word asks us to glorify Him. Have you thought of that? He asked that of us. Psalm 29 says, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Psalm 29, verse 1. Verse 2 says, Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Then I'd say all glory is due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 3 of Psalm 29 says, The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Verse 4, The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. May God help us to do that. Here we want to talk a little bit about Christ leaving the glories of heaven. I mentioned it earlier. We don't have a way to describe and know what all He did leave, but we know He left a lot. But I think it's important that we have aspirations and desires. Or not desires, but that we do have some idea of what the glory of heaven is, and I think it will be a guiding light in our life. We will desire to be more and more in His presence if we understand what the glory is. May God help us. As I had said, I feel like it's possible that the union of the two natures in Christ God and man is maybe the greatest miracle in Scripture. I think maybe that will be the one thing that we will marvel at for much of eternity, is that Christ left this to go to earth. Christ left the glories of heaven to come to earth. To me, it is a constant wonder that Jesus Christ will forever and ever be both God and man. That is who He will be forever and ever. We see that Christ assumed flesh, taking a human body and the nature of man as the Son of God. Philippians 2, verse 8 to 10 say, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, for this reason, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus," that gives us some idea what kind of reverence we should have when we say that name, "that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, not just here on earth, but in heaven. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth and also underneath the earth, that at that name everything should bow." I think that gives us a good picture of the reverence that we should have in our heart as we say, "as for the name of Jesus Christ." And I want to encourage us, children, and all of us again, let's not get used to using that name lightly and flippantly. When we say Jesus, may we remember what we're saying, and may we have some idea in our hearts and minds of His glory and who He is. Jesus becoming man gives us hope. In Him we find overcoming power. He gives us a truly holy example to follow. It gives us, it assures us of His sympathy. He cares and He has compassion. We can know that He sympathizes with us. As the Word of God says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." A mediator is a go-between. Jesus Christ is very sympathetic. And we saw when the heavens opened and Stephen looked up into the heavens from here on earth and he saw the glory of God, Christ is seated beside God, interceding on our behalf. He sympathizes with us. That's encouraging. It proves to us how deeply sympathetic He is to me and you in our trials and challenges and the things we face here on earth. As I said earlier, we have an enemy. The goal of our enemy is to reduce God's glory to idol worship. Psalm 106 verse 20 says, "Thus they exchanged Him who was their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They traded their honor for the image of a calf." Psalm 106:20 speaks of the glory of God in this way as well, saying, "They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass." May we never do that. May we never allow the glory of God or the glory of Jesus Christ to be diminished or to be taken away or to exchange it for something else or to reduce it to something far less. To exchange the wonder and glory of Christ for something else, a tree in our home or like we've said before, that is it burdens my heart some as we see this little baby that was born. It is an amazing thing. We can never say enough. But may we see past all the other things that are around it, and may we behold that little babe that was born. It's the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Proverbs would teach us that the glory of God conceals things. Proverbs 2, maybe I'll turn there. I didn't put that reference in here. Proverbs 25, verse 2. I think I'll just read that here. Proverbs 2, verse 20, Proverbs 25, verse 2 says, I'm confusing myself because I went to chapter 2 first. But chapter 25, verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Interesting. God is God. And sometimes God conceals things. Hypocrisy turns the glory of God into shame. We read this in Hosea chapter 4, verse 7. It says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. It is easy for God to remove glory from pride and haughtiness. Men that are proud about their accomplishments, and it's easy for Him to turn this into shame. If we misuse His glory, we don't want to misuse God's glory, and I'm sure I have without realizing more than I realize, but that's something we don't want to make a habit of. We see God's glory in the temple. There should maybe be more said there about that, but I think we will keep going here. We see it in the temple here. And I think we're just in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We'll just read three verses here if you have your Bibles. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. That would have had to been a sight to behold. They got the offerings and everything ready, and they put them on the altar. And then God let fire from heaven fall and consume those burnt offerings. Verse 2 says, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. I'm not sure if that would be unrealistic. But I wonder if there couldn't be a bit more glory even here in God's house here at times. Is that possible? Here we're in the Old Testament, and it has a lot to say. It said, the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house, and no one could get in. It's amazing. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I think we could study that and gain a lot of knowledge and glean a lot of things from God's glory if we studied that passage there of God's glory in the temple. What did this look like? It seems like it should leave a lasting impression on whoever saw it. That would be quite something. And just hearing it and reading it should make us desire more of it. As we pass through this life, may we seek God's glory, and may, in small ways, may it be found in our lives. As I have said before, everyone has a strong natural instinct to accomplish things for greatness and applause. We should all desire moral transformation into the image of Christ. May God help us
as we seek the glory of Jesus Christ. I would say true human greatness is to have God's glory in our lives. May God help us. As 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." The God of all grace. As we think of God's grace, so many times we feel like we're unworthy of it and we don't avail ourselves of it. Here was a few words that I found that I'm not sure who wrote, but it was someone in need of God's grace, and it's not original with me, but I do want to read it to you concerning God's grace. The God of all grace says, "Lord, I crawled across the barrenness of my life to you with my empty cup, uncertain, and asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known you better, I'd have come running with a big bucket." I think we will see all the grace that we could have availed in eternity that we didn't avail of. May God help us. God's grace looks for a broken, contrite heart ready to receive. God gives us the hope of abounding grace, grace that abounds. Think of that. Abounding grace. I'm not sure if there's right words to put that in. Abounding grace. Let's think of that a little more. Grace that is just, it's like there's a force behind it. And God, it keeps coming at us. It's not something we have to go get. It abounds. It just keeps coming. And God gives and never as has any the less as He gives. God's abounding grace. Power that I need in my life, that I need. Grace is God's power to have more of His glory in our lives. Can we take that home with us? Grace is God's power to have more of His glory in our lives. Grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace perfected. Grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace that is perfected. We are changed into the glory, from glory to glory, by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read these words, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." This is amazing. The Spirit of God and God Himself and the glory of God, as this becomes our life, we have more of God's glory in our life. We have an amazing opportunity here with the Word of God. May God help us. Grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace perfected. We're changed from glory to glory by the Word of God, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 says here. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Hebrews 2:9. A couple of scriptures here out of Revelation saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And the city had no need of the sun." Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. "Heaven has no need for a sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God doth lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Think of that. I think God's heart is that we all, in a small way, as we reflect the glory of God in the light of the Lamb, that we bring light into this dark world by the glory of God. Now, in closing here, I haven't known for sure how or what to say, but it was one morning this week that I woke up and my thoughts went to God, to the Lord, like I always try to, the first thing to think of Him when I wake. And I had no more than been awoke, it was fairly early in the morning, the words, "The glory of Jesus Christ," came to me. And as I laid there with the eyes of faith, there were different parts of His glory that I was able to meditate on and consider. And as I laid there for 15 to 20 minutes, tears just ran down both eyes. They just kept coming. As I laid there and considered the glory of Jesus Christ. A few times later, as I thought of this title and this message, I just started weeping. And I'm not sure why all. I trust maybe it can be an encouragement to you somehow to seek His glory and to desire more of His glory in our lives, in our community here, in our brotherhood. And I know I'm the first that needs the most. But I'm not someone special, and so I've hesitated to know how to share some of these things. But it's one of those times that you don't forget, and we just trust that in a small way we can continue to be to meditate on His glory and seek His glory, and His glory can be changed in small ways into His glory. So may God bless you as you consider the glory of Jesus Christ in your lives.